You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. There's growing awareness of a generations-long injustice that has long plagued Indigenous communities without closure, missing and murdered Indigenous people, with many cases still unsolved years or decades later. The reason behind that involves a web of jurisdictions between federal, local, and tribal land that creates barriers and loopholes in investigating these cases thoroughly, if at all. We've had these conversations before on Insight, even as early as recently as a couple weeks ago, and there are strong arguments within Native American and Indigenous communities that the system was designed specifically for a consistent lack of justice. But that appears to be changing at the federal and state level with more investment. Recently this weekend, the California Attorney General's Office of Native American Affairs held an event called Missing in California Indian Country. It is the first meeting of its kind in the state to elevate California's response to the missing, murdered Indigenous persons crisis. And it took place along the North Coast in Humboldt County, home to several Indigenous lands, including the Yurok, Karuk, Talowa, Wiat, and Hoopa Valley tribes. Joining us is Ali Hostler, the managing editor of Two Rivers Tribune, the only Native-owned newspaper in California that serves Humboldt, Trinity, and Siskiyou counties. We're also joined by Yurok Tribal Chief Greg O'Rourke. Welcome to you both. Thanks for making the time.
Good morning.
What's going on, Akoi? And thank you for having us.
Yes. Well, Chief O'Rourke, I want to start with you. I mean, you are, in one sense, the law enforcement arm in this, but this is an issue that is very close to your heart. You have personally known women who are still missing years later with little information about what happened, and you are not alone in this. And I lead with that because I think it underscores how prevalent of a crisis this has been for generations that many people outside of tribal land are learning about for the first time. What do you want us to know about this crisis?
I think that the first thing is that it actually is a crisis. So for so many years and so for so many generations, it was never a prevalent thing. And not just locally, but all across the country, up into Canada when it comes to Indigenous people. And right now, there's momentum with this movement to be able to bring awareness, and with that awareness, to be able to bring help.
Yeah. I was reading an article in the Los Angeles Times. It was published last month, and you were in it, and you were very open about how you've been personally affected by this. There is a woman who is still missing, Emily Riesling, but also the connection of your adopted daughter. You adopted your daughter after her own mother disappeared.
That's correct. So with Emily, and sorry for the correction, but I don't want the family to be upset. It's pronounced Riesling.
Riesling, thank you.
So with Emily, she actually babysat my daughters. And so we had that personal and familial connection with her. And then when it came to my foster daughter, she came into our lives when she was only 6 years old. And her mother was a missing person out of one of our local reservations on the Hoopa Valley. And we were impacted by that. And we had an opportunity to try to, you know, provide, you know, some sort of stability for her. And we were able to do that.
What do you want people to understand about the challenges of investigating these cases?
Oh, gosh, that's such an in-depth question. I think one of the biggest things that we have to bring attention forward right now is when it comes to Indian country and Native people, we are not necessarily bound by jurisdictional geographic lines up on the North Coast or even across the state and country. We have ties with each other, but yet when it comes to the investigating agency, those agencies are bound by jurisdiction, and that has an impact. Native people have an historic mistrust of law enforcement. It goes back to the days of boarding schools. As a matter of fact, the Yurok word for a police officer translates directly to he goes and gets people. There's a very negative connotation to that. But yet, as tribal police, our Native communities have an investment in us, and we will actually get a different level of cooperation from the community than the sheriff's office will, or CHP, or even the federal law enforcement partners. So with that, We as tribal police are trying to offer a model of community policing that we think the state and country can actually learn from and hopefully adopt to be able to help build rapport and trust again with law enforcement and their communities.
Yeah, that also brings up an important point of trusted sources of information as well. And Ali, that brings me to you. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of Two Rivers Tribune and its importance in the community?
Yeah. Hi, Vicki. The Two Rivers Tribune is we're a weekly print publication. We remain in print, although many newspapers are converting completely to online publishing platforms, because our community is the geographic area of our communities and areas we serve is so remote. That we don't always have access to reliable internet and cell phone coverage. So people do still rely on our print publication out here. We serve Eastern Humboldt County, West Trinity County, South Siskiyou County. Our coverage area spans about 130 miles. And often with MMIP cases in Northern California, our coverage area is at the epicenter of where many of these folks are going missing or being found murdered. So we do a lot of coverage. And like Greg said, you know, it's being recognized as a crisis now, but we've been covering this as long as we've been in print for just about 30 years. And, you know, seeing the MMIP movement become more accepted and, you know, gain momentum, I've seen that really empower local folks to share their stories and seek justice and help with reform, like what's happening now in California.
What drew you to local journalism, Allie?
Well, I think everyone's drawn to journalism. Folks who are drawn to journalism care about their communities. They care about democracy. They care about justice. They recognize the importance of people's stories and the impact their stories have on their community. I'd say all of those things are true for me as well. I saw the media as a way to empower our people, help people seek justice, hold public officials accountable. Those things are all critical to a safe and functional community. And I believe all of us deserve to live in a safe and functioning community. Part of that is, you know, having rebuilding trust with law enforcement, like Greg said, also feeling like your officials are serving you. So yeah, I mean, that's why I got involved in media.
Yeah, those are all very important reasons. As a journalist, you know, I am one as well. I mean, there's this distance and this independence in how we talk about issues, but we're also human. How do you navigate that balance with an issue as generationally painful as missing and murdered Indigenous people? You mentioned yourself, your newspaper has covered this since the beginning of the Two Rivers Tribune.
It's been very hard to navigate that. It's very personal. A lot of the stories we cover are very personal. Their loved ones are people I see at the grocery store. I interact with their children at school. Our families are all connected in one way, shape, or form. We have ceremonies with each other. It's very hard to see people you care about and love experiencing so much pain. I think there isn't one person in our communities that hasn't been impacted and affected by the MMIP crisis. It's hard to navigate that balance. I mean, really, in private, as a journalist, I cry a lot. You know, I'll read stories and really think about sensitivity. And I feel like that's unique about tribal law enforcement and local media, is we have a sensitivity to the families, whereas larger media and outside agencies don't have that connection. And I feel like we provide that balance to the greater story or the bigger story or the bigger investigations or police reform. Our local folks are helping to create some cultural sensitivity and provide the human side of people's stories. It's a very hard place to be as a journalist.
Yeah, but that lived experience and that empathy is so important to the powerful journalism that you and your colleagues do. Chief O'Rourke, I want to ask you the same question. I mean, how do you navigate this balance that is so interwoven within your community?
To be myself, quite simply. One of the benefits that I can bring to our community is I come from the community. And if I try to pretend that I'm not, then that's not going to work. As a peace officer, we have to be able to bring stability and pattern to the chaos of the call. But once that's done, then you still also have to have that, maintain that connection to the community. So it is what it is. And that really is, though, what true community policing is. And like I said earlier, I think that's a model that tribal police can offer, especially in this, day in demand for reform.
Hmm. Both of you touched upon this, that there's this growing movement, like growing awareness nationally about MMIP from CBS News. The Associated Press did a piece. I mentioned to Chief O'Rourke, the LA Times article from last month. What does this mean to the communities that are being reported on, the fact that there is growing awareness outside of tribal lands that is long overdue? Chief O'Rourke, I'll start with you.
I think what it is doing is it's actually making Native voices relevant. One of the big issues that I have seen coming into this is stories get told, but yet in Native communities and Native families, those same stories have happened, but they never got told. Why was a Native voice silent? Why was, a non-Native person highlighted, but Native people weren't? So with this momentum that's going in, it's actually lending courage and fortitude to Native communities for them to step forward and say, no more. And I think that is such a powerful, powerful movement that it actually makes me both proud and humble to see happening.
Allie, what are you hearing from the community about this growing awareness and movement?
Well, I want to kind of backtrack a little to when we first started covering these stories and stating that MMIP was a crisis, and because it was building momentum as a movement. And although we had covered stories prior to that, I really felt like there was resistance 8 to 10 years ago when this movement started coming out. I think people felt like it was unearthing painful pieces of their past, and they weren't quite ready to process that publicly. And I've really watched that change. I've watched that change. People feel like their stories are being legitimized. They're being heard. And so I've seen people become empowered, and it's been a slower transition than we would hope, but I feel like we're on the right track with people being more open to talking about the underlying issues that have contributed to the MMIP crisis. People are becoming more vocal about domestic violence, sexual assault. They're becoming more vocal with trust issues with law enforcement, and I feel like law enforcement is genuinely making changes to address those trust issues. And with cultural sensitivity trainings happening within tribal police departments and across different jurisdictions, I feel like we're on a path to healing, but we're still a long ways away from keeping our community safe, and we have a lot of work to do. But I do see folks coming out of their shells and feeling empowered, and holding more events at the Capitol, events in our own communities, there are positive things happening, and the more people feel better that their loved one isn't being completely forgotten, and cold cases are being revisited, they feel like they have a shot at justice.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Yurok Tribal Chief Greg O'Rourke and Ali Hostler with the Two Rivers Tribune in Humboldt County about the missing and murdered Indigenous persons crisis that is receiving more awareness and response at the state and federal level. So let's get to what has been developing over the past year or so. Last weekend, the California Attorney General's Office, they held an MMIP event in Humboldt County. It was the first of its kind in the state. Chief O'Rourke, what was significant about this moment last weekend?
What I thought was just so profound was the fact that we had six different county sheriffs attend this event. This was a non-training, this was a non-conference for law enforcement. It was an event for families and community to be able to come, make contacts with law enforcement, potentially report a loved one missing. And we had six different county sheriffs attend to be able to actually start that collaboration with the community. I have never seen that done in my 23 years in law enforcement. To me, that was so impactful. And the fact that we had community members come to this event and willing to make a missing persons report, willing to provide a DNA sample so that way, should a loved one come up, be able to have a chance to identify them and start building that trust with the community, that was huge. And that was very, very profound.
Yeah. I mean, given that this is the first of its kind and even the first that you witness having six county sheriffs in attendance, you know, Ali, when it comes to the community that showed up or heard about the event, what was the feedback that you're hearing?
Well, in general, I think people were also very it was a showing from law enforcement and people. I'd never seen so many county sheriffs and law enforcement leaders on one stage, willing to do a Q&A with the public and willing to answer some of the longstanding questions about jurisdiction, about response, and how they specifically respond to each case, which each case is unique. I felt like that was a very, putting that panel together with the county sheriffs, and they also had CHP and like National Park Service and different LEOs there. That was a testament to the commitment of the Attorney General's office to address this issue. I was also very impressed with the AG's Office of Native American Affairs presentation of research. They've assembled a research team to begin documenting what needs to change with the Department of Justice and AG's office and law enforcement in general. I thought it was a great event. I also felt like there's been other events, and it was put out there as if it's the first of its kind. Yes, it was of the AG's office, but there's been a lot of events that have been held and a lot of momentum and progress that had already begun that led to the AG's response. So not to devalue the event, but I felt like, in many ways, we're having the same conversations, and it's definitely time for more action.
Yeah, and we're talking about the state level, but Chief O'Rourke, there have been other developments as well. Your tribe, the Yurok tribe, was recently selected as a pilot group for the U.S. Marshals Service for Missing and Murdered Indigenous Persons Initiative. And locally, your tribe has secured an investigator to work on missing persons and homicide cases. How much of a game changer are these developments?
The MMIP investigator that the tribe hired on really was kind of born out of an idea of hope the what if question, and I love what if questions. What if we had an investigator who was deputized in multiple counties, who was deputized federally through a special law enforcement commission by the BIA, who has a rapport just by virtue of being tribal police with a community, but also worked law enforcement for many years and can liaise between the two. And lo and behold, that idea came to fruition, and that's what we're hoping that this investigator can do. When there was a case in Mendocino County, and I was just a patrol deputy working for the sheriff's office at the time, yet I knew intimate details of that case because as families, we talked amongst each other. And the problem with that, though, was the investigating agency did not have those details. I don't know if it would have changed the case, but what I can say as an investigator, we need that information and we need it in a timely fashion. So what if we had a tribal investigator that knew law enforcement process, but also had the trust of the community to be able to act as that in-between? So in that sense, potentially that investigator could be a game changer. We'll have to wait and find out.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, please continue with the federal initiative.
Then with the Marshals Project, one of the things that, you know, obviously we have to worry about, especially with missing persons, is the possibility of that missing person leaving our jurisdiction or leaving out of the state. One of the things that the marshals know how to do is find people. And being able to have access and an avenue to reach out to the marshals and request assistance with an arm that can go international, It gives me hope as a law enforcement officer that if one of our Native people ends up going missing on the North Coast, that we actually have a legit option to be able to reach out and successfully recover and bring them home.
Where does your level of hope stand in finding answers and justice for missing and murdered Indigenous people, Chief?
I don't know yet. I think Ali made a really important point earlier that right now we are starting to identify certain key issues. And it's, you know, even though we've been talking about this for a while, it's still going to take time. But I think one of those key issues that we've identified is, and we've been able to put a name to it, and that's trauma. So MMIP, domestic violence, sexual assault, DUI, addiction, is all trauma-based. And as a community, we're coming from a place of both historic and intergenerational trauma. So we finally actually have something that we could label. And now that we've identified that, we can also start identifying best practices and policies to be able to address that, not just from law enforcement, but from a community standpoint. So in that sense, it really does feel hopeful. You know, it almost feels like the first day of baseball season where everybody has a chance to go to the World Series. We have a chance now. We've been able to identify what has been plaguing us, what's been causing that frustration and that anger in the community.
Chief O'Rourke and Ali, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you for your coverage.
Indeed. Thank you for having us. I know that the media has helped with getting the word out. And so I know that personally, I'm very appreciative of it. So thank you.
Thank you both. That is Yurok Tribal Chief Greg O'Rourke and Ali Hostler with Two Rivers Tribune in Humboldt County discussing the missing and murdered Indigenous persons crisis that is receiving more awareness and response at the state and federal level. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.